Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Let's start the hour. Second hour of the morning show here for you. We're going to take you to the top of the hour. Nothing but fun, information, and a great time. Got your name, your host, James, here, joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
Have the band together on a Friday. It's going to be good. We got good things on the way. Coming up, we're going to get into a couple of fun topics. Got some odd stories here and there. A good one right here about three job interview answers that could end your chances. We're going to give both sides of that, I think. I think we can give a bunch of different angles.
Yeah, probably.
On that one.
And I was thinking about it without even knowing the story. Like, what about, you know, you really don't want somebody to lie either.
No,
what I mean? So you can't.
This is what I want to get into about it, with embellishing and how much to, and all those little layers to it and stuff. All that coming up. And we've got, of course, Civic Media's our thing we've been doing with the Milwaukee Brewers all summer long, and our free text to win contest going on, everybody. Want to come out the gate with that word. Let us get us that keyword. Text it to us through the Civic Media app, gold. Text us the keyword gold, everybody, and you can get a chance to win a pack of four tickets to see your Brewers take on the Reds on Friday, September 26th. Gold. Text that to us through the Civic Media
app. And the Brewers are hot. You want to win.
That is a team that if you are a fan of another team, you don't want them to face. That's just a strong, strong team up and down the whole lineup, 1 through 9, defensively, speed-wise. The things the Brewers are doing are, they're not streaky. They're not, they got a couple of guys who are going on a home run tear or something like that. All season long, speed, defense, smart base running. They got depth. It's a good year for them. It's a good year. I am not the type that predict those things or anything, but I don't think there's any surprise to see them go on a run, if not make a World Series run here. It's going to be fun. And you want to go to that game? Text us that keyword, gold. Let's take a look at a little bit of entertainment news. Last month on the New Heights podcast, Taylor Swift shared her current obsession of making sourdough bread, and she said she's been working on a Funfetti version for Jason Kelce's daughters. And Pillsbury saw the dollar signs and created a limited edition Funfetti sourdough bread new mix.
You know,
sorry, mix a Funfetti sourdough bread mix.
I think like young people, well, maybe not just young people, but like people who bake or cook, like sourdough is just like the hot trend right now.
And on that, I know that a little while ago, if it still isn't, like birthday cake flavor or Funfetti or whatever, like that's been huge. Even my mom, like for a while there, was like getting over.
Like in anything.
Yes.
Yeah, not just like, in sourdough, like just in general.
Yeah. Her ice cream, she loved that birthday cake ice cream.
I mean, what is the deal? Sprinkles or sprinkles?
I don't know. It's lost on me. But people are liking it. Taylor likes it. And they won't be hitting the shelves because only 1,500 boxes were made, but smart move by them. Each Funfetti sourdough box costs $10, free shipping. The mix includes sourdough bread mix, Funfetti sprinkles, and a packet of yeast. You can order it at funfetti.com. It's already out there, so you can order it anytime you want. We all kind of see this as a marketing grab and everything, but that don't mean it's a bad idea.
No. You know, you have to take your, I mean, right? You see an opportunity, take it.
Yeah. I'm curious to see, the other things that will be blown up, because this really, I understand that Taylor Swift is attached to it, and outside of that, the Kelce brothers, and both of those entities are famous on their own, let alone when you put them together. But even with that, podcasts are being a little bit more of that thing where it's, I think that they're figuring this out. Maybe they're figuring it out, but influencers aren't working. They're not seeing the payoff. No matter who the influencer you point to, most popular names in podcasting or on YouTube or TikTok or anything like that, businesses are not seeing the benefit financially. But plenty of them are seeing their name out there, seeing their name trending or something like that. That's almost the new finishing in the black for your business as well. We spent a little more than we meant to here, but we are also being talked about like we've never been talked about before.
But brand recognition has always mm-hmm. been a really important part of mm-hmm. a marketing plan. So I think it's just being done in a different way, yeah, right? So yeah. then when I do need something or I'm looking for something for baking, I'm like, oh, Pillsbury. You know what I mean? Like it sticks in your mind. The whole, you know, attached celebrities or not, but literally the whole sourdough craze mm-hmm. right now is just kind of interesting to me. Like, I think it's kind of funny. It reminds me of the old bread. Like, the last time I heard people so crazy about bread was like back when I was watching women fight over bread machines at Yonkers. Yeah. You know, like when the bread makers first came out, it was like scary. It's it was kind of like stand back and turn away because otherwise you're going to be in the middle of something.
I remember that. It was like the adult Cabbage Patch Kids.
It was a little crazy.
Can't imagine working in the industry at the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you just kind of turn and don't watch. I'm needed over here. Okay.
It's like a bad horror movie scene. You're just looking through
your hands. Or finding some blinds to peek through. But you know, even our good friends over at Mid-State Technical College recently, you know, they have like continuing education opportunities, and a really good friend of mine took their sourdough baking class and learned all different, you know, different ways, different tips, tricks. So it's the thing.
I love bread. Bread is one of my favorite things. I love, love, love bread. I'm going to lose people on this one. That's the one bread I don't like.
I don't care.
I'm not a big fan. I don't get it. But I teach their own. And I love the idea of making bread. Even to the point, I'd make sourdough bread. I just wouldn't eat it. But I'd make it. I like bread. I love bread.
Don't make it. Who's going to clean up behind you?
No, I'm not going to. If I did make it, it would stop being popular the instant I bought the ingredients. As soon as I was like, they would just get out there to the masses. And like, no, this isn't cool anymore. Somebody who is always cool, Lainey Wilson. She has a strong of a Southern twang as an artist in any country music. You can hear it, and I would say maybe one of her newest singles is a great example of this, Somewhere Over Laredo. The way she sings Laredo, I've never heard anybody sing it that way. There's something in it, and it's in part because of her natural accent that kind of comes out in her singing, which you don't hear with a lot of artists. Think about how many artists that are from other countries that sing in English that you would never know that are able to do that. So it's funny listening to her talk about trying to tone it down. She was being interviewed and talked about a recent audition she had where at the end they asked her to do it again but without an accent. And she told casting, y'all, this is about to be funny, and I'm not even trying to be funny. If I ever do that, it will definitely take some work. I'll need to talk to a professional to figure out how to not talk like this.
Well, and I don't know. I think there's something refreshing about her. You know, like, why 100%. Try to pull it back?
Yeah. Well, I've been dealing with this a long time. As I mentioned earlier, since at least 2005, 2007, I've been auditioning professionally. And I have had very few interactions with casting directors that didn't involve something like this. Hey, can you be a little shorter? Can my nose be different? Things like that. They throw these things at you, and some of it is intended or needed, and I get it. And then there's other things where it's kind of like, well, why did you even bring me in?
So she was interviewing for an acting position?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant this was like for her music. I'm like, why? Her voice is her voice. I get it. You do have to fit a role. I get that. Yeah, but I just misunderstood this.
Yeah, she did this as she was being interviewed and talked about a recent audition. And I think that's where, it got a little confusing. But luckily for her, she said most of the parts she's going out for right now are okay with her accent. I would love to see her doing a normal trying to do this. I think that'd be pretty good. And honestly, if that existed, it'd probably be out there because she'd share it. She's one of these people. Yeah. To your point before, I think it's one of the things that is not only is she incredibly talented, and man, is she a great MC. This lady cannot just sing. She can host. She can MC. She has got so much in front of her right now. I cannot imagine how where she can take her career. It just keeps going this route. And especially being who she is, keeping her feet on the ground and everything. One of the things that I think is playing into her favor, and I don't make light of this, I don't say this lightly, and it's not to say that if you come from a great background or a privileged background that you can't be great. We've seen plenty of people do that. But there is something about, I was talking about this with Seth the other day, when you listen even to this day or late in their careers to Willie Nelson or Johnny Cash or Dolly Parton, there's something in their voice that's in there. No matter what the song is, no matter if it's a high or a low song or whatever lyrics they're singing, there is something in their voice. These are people that have not forgotten who they are, where they're from, where they came from. I hear that in Lainey Wilson. I hear that in Chris Stapleton. I hear that in some artists still, where it's still there. And, you know, hey, you got to hang on to that. You know, it can be lost, but it gives me the, like, I bet on her. I would bet on her in the next 10 years, still, like, 10 years from now, still being as relevant as she is now.
I agree.
And that's saying something in the music industry, man. I mean, if you could stay relevant for 5 years, that's saying something, let alone as long as I think of a career she's going to have. And, of course, we continue with a little bit of more country. Oh, look at this. Miranda Lambert showed up in our news. I didn't plan that. It just showed up here. I'm sorry. She's
it's
in the
funny
news.
That you pull this from Googling Miranda Lambert, not from Google. Googling news.
I didn't. Don't look at my laptop. You don't want to look at my laptop. No, Miranda Lambert. Miranda Lambert just helped the Academy of Country Music raise more than $420,000 to benefit a wide range of charities. It was called ACM Presents Wine and Country, and it was held at the legendary Hearst Castle in California. The event was headlined by a sold-out performance by Miranda herself. ACM Lifting Lives, Miranda's Mutt Nation Foundation, and the Hearst Cancer Resource Center were just some of the charities that benefited from this great event. Here is what the CEO of ACM had to say about it. Quote, "We're so thrilled to have gone back to our California roots to celebrate country music and raise money for important charities in this beautiful, unique setting." Miranda shared some pretty cool shots and that of her in this. It's a cool thing. It's, you know, if we're not talking about a new single, or we're not talking about her doing some, you know, winning some a ribbon or something like that at a county fair or a horse show or something like that, we're talking about Miranda Lambert and her Mutt Nation Foundation, or her raising money recently for the flood victims. Mm-hmm. She's always doing stuff like this.
She really is a great philanthropist. Like, it's awesome. I love her efforts.
I think she is one of the prime examples of why when we talk about celebrities, and we have to remember not only that they're people just like us, but that there is some good that can come from that star. There's some good that can come from that power. You don't want celebrities to just shut up and dribble. You don't want celebrities to just keep to themselves or anything like that. I know that there are plenty of people that could care less about. I'm not necessarily talking about who's voting for or anything like that. But that is part of this. And you have to take all of it together. If you don't want one thing, you don't get the other. That's how this works.
You know what I love about her, though, is she recognizes that all contributions have such a huge impact. Because let's be real, that story, you said it raised $400,000. That's chump change in their world.
Yeah.
In the world of the nonprofits they're impacting, it is game changing. Yeah. So, you know, I love that about her, because there's a lot of celebrities too who would be like, oh, it has to raise $4 million, but it doesn't. $400,000 is going to make a huge impact.
Just as talented as she is, wonderful. Just a good soul. Good on her. Nice tip of the cowboy hat to Miss Lambert right there. Want to look at what's new on your small screen and new on your big screen this weekend. A lot of networks are doing this now, Terry. Tonight on CBS, CBS First Fall Look, you get a preview of some of the shows coming up in fall. Really interesting year. I don't know if I've seen this many times. I believe there is one new scripted comedy in the fall lineup for all the networks.
Oh, interesting.
They're
I don't even pay attention.
You're not alone. Not a lot of people are. And I think this is part of the reason, to be honest with you. I think that people want comedies, and they're not making comedies anymore because they're afraid of them, because they don't always, you know, hit. For every Friends, there's Herman's Head. there's shows that just don't work out and everything. But that's the point of TV, is to take chances. There's a billion shows out there already. Why not try some new stuff? I don't know. If TV wants to fix itself, that is where it should start, is trying to be what TV always used to be, an original, and trying different things instead of just trying to be the same old, same old. We'll see. If you're curious, you can check that out. I know I'll be checking this out. Saturday night on CNN, Farm Aid 40. Oh,
yeah,
it's
crazy,
so cool.
Huh?
If you get a chance to check this out, if you've never checked it out before, go ahead and throw into your Googler or something, Farm Aid any year, and see some of the performances. I just, yesterday morning before the Sunrise Show, I was looking at a bunch of highlights, and I was watching Willie Nelson. And
I was going to say Willie, yeah.
Willie Nelson and his kids singing some songs together, and it was the most, I think it was the 2024 Farm Aid. So Willie's up there, and his voice is not what it was or anything, and It got me. All I had to like cool myself before going on air and everything because it got me. It was so cool to see Neil Young, Bob Dylan, John Mellencamp, Dave Matthews, Kenny Chesney, Wynonna Judd, and of course the redheaded stranger himself, Willie Nelson, will be there. Farm Aid 40 on CNN, 7 o'clock Saturday night. Got to check that out. I got to see at least a little of it. On Sunday Night Football, New York Giants versus Kansas City Chiefs. You had me at Patrick Mahomes. If it was Mahomes against the New York Giants, I would watch. That should be a good game. Check that out. Fox has their Fox Fall Preview going on Sunday night, probably about 8 o'clock, I think, 9 o'clock, somewhere around there. And let's see. Lilith Fair, Building a Mystery, The Untold Story. That's going to be a documentary on Hulu. That looks pretty good.
Oh, interesting. I went to Lilith Fair in Milwaukee one year.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Sarah McLachlan was my... Well, I'm a Dixie Chicks fan. You can say right what on, you want to say. Right on. But it was fun. We had a really good time.
We had a moment there in the 90s, our generation at those last like years there and everything, where there was just so many great female singers. Yeah. And that Lilith Fair made such perfect sense.
I'll be curious to watch that.
I'm definitely going to watch that. That looks good. I like documentaries. I've been getting into documentaries.
And Melissa Etheridge was there too.
Oh, like, that'd have been a good...
It was just a loaded lineup.
In Milwaukee too.
At Summerfest Grounds.
Such a great venue. Not a lot of big movies coming out in wide release right now. Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey, Colin Farrell and Margaret Robey play two strangers who meet in a friend's wedding and find themselves in love. And The Senior, that is rated PG. Michael Cheekles, the commish, and so many other great roles.
I love that. Cheekles.
He's so good. He's in that. Big one in wide release is the, I guess, horror movie Him, the new Jordan Peele movie. It's getting a lot of talk. If you've watched 2 seconds of YouTube, you've probably seen commercials for it. It looks very weird, very different. And I'm probably going to check it out. I'll be honest. A movie that's in limited release, but you're going to be hearing about come award show season. And this is a little weird to say, but Waltzing with Brando, starring Billy Zane as Marlon Brando. And he is getting a lot of cred for this. Like, he is apparently, he looks just like him, sounds just like him. Apparently, a lot of people are talking about it and saying it looks really good. Apollo 13, the 30th anniversary, will be released. The 1995 classic starring Tom Hanks, Kevin Bacon, Gary Sinise, Bill Paxton, going to be released in theaters again as well. That's kind of cool. I like when they're doing more and more of that. I like that. I think that's smart. And we got a couple of other things. We'll touch on them in a little bit. We'll first take a commercial break, come back, take care of our partners. We'll have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a fantastic Friday out there. Thank you so much for joining us with it. We're going to get into some fun stuff in a little bit after our news, sports, and entertainment break. Take care of our partners. We got three job interview answers that could instantly end your chances. We're going to give you a bunch of different layers to that and get into that in just a little bit. But I want to touch on this one real quick. This is just a short story, but I wanted to get it in. In the 2025 UK Dog Surfing Championship in Dorset, England. We were all following this closely, I'm sure. It saw three different Guinness World Records being broken by paddleboarding pooches. Mark Reeves, the organizer of the annual event at Braxham Den Chine, decided this year's dog surfing championship would include world record attempts for the most dog/human pairs paddleboarding. No, wait a minute. It should be dog boarding. Blah, blah, blah. It should be dog. No, paddleboarding simultaneously. The fastest 50 meter paddleboarding by a human/dog pair and the most dogs on a single paddleboard.
Oh.
Interesting. That seems
fun. It is interesting.
The first record was broken by 10 human canine pairings competing in a 50 meter, 160 foot paddleboard race. And the race ended in a tie between two teams. Matthew Jenkins and his 2-year-old Shih Tzu, along with Gigi, Ben Gray, and this border collie, Boo. The two men and their dogs now hold the record for the fastest 50 meter paddleboarding by a human dog pair.
Okay, so it's a pair. So it's not just the dog on the paddleboard.
Yes.
Because I was trying to think how, because we have a golden retriever who loves the water. So for me to get him to stay, I mean, obviously an exponential amount of treats, but to get him to stay on the paddleboard himself and then paddle, I'd probably have to have a like a porterhouse at the end.
You're going to have that steak in one hand and the paddle in the other. Yeah.
Like a regular dog treat isn't going to do it. No, but if I was, but if I was on the paddleboard, then I think he would stay on there. You know what I mean? Like at the same time.
That would
be interesting.
Yeah, yeah. The third record proved to be the most complicated, but organizers were able to wrangle 12 dogs onto a single paddleboard, and they remained in place long enough to succeed successfully earn the title. So that's kind of cool.
How many times they got dumped off before they got them all on there? They're a little tippy.
I can't even imagine like that. There is I've seen trainers like on TV sets that would rather work with like 2-3 year olds than any animal. And then at the same time, I've seen some that are where the dog is a better actor than anybody on the set. It's amazing how animals could do this and what they will do. They're really something, especially dogs. That's a cool one. That's a cool story. As we continue to cover record breakers around here, I'm starting to think I want to do something. And try to break a record with my fur brother, Sam. Try to figure something out. But I don't think Sam would be interested. I don't think he'd really care.
Does he, is he a swimmer? Like, does he like the water?
He does
or
like the water
do you
a
not?
Bit.
Okay.
He does like the water a bit. So I think we can maybe figure something out.
Yeah.
I wanted to remind everybody that our WFHR newsletter has got a new edition out for you. If you are already signed up, you found that out yesterday. We want to send a shout out to our team. Everybody doing such great work on that. Appreciate every single one of you so much. Check out that WFHR newsletter. It's your one-stop shop for Central Wisconsin news. We encourage you to do that. And while you're over at WFHR.com, get us your recipes, everybody. So many of you have gotten us them already. We really appreciate that. Keep them coming. We're doing this to put together an 85th anniversary cookbook, bringing that back like we would do as we want to celebrate our 85th anniversary. In order to do that, we need your recipes. It's not going to be the same without you. Submit them to us, whether you want to do that online or stop by the studios here. Maybe you have it on a book card or something. And you
a
want
recipe
us to,
card, James.
Yes, a recipe card. That's it. That's it. I knew I was thinking of it wrong. I don't know what I'm talking about.
What the heck's a book card?
It's,
were you confusing a bookmark? With an index card?
I was thinking of an index card.
What's going on, man?
I was thinking of an index card. I was mixing words.
What's the deadline?
It's coming up. It is going to be, we haven't put a deadline, hard deadline on it yet.
But. Because I only really think about it when I'm sitting here with you.
Gotta
and then
get
I forget.
It. I'm going to text you.
If you would send me an email, then it would be in front of me.
Maybe I'll do that. Maybe we should do that for others. We want those recipes, everybody. If you go to WFHR.com, there is a banner you can click on to submit it to us online. Otherwise, please do reach out to us. Get it to us, and keep in mind, if you want to be anonymous, that's fine. If you want your name in it, we would love that. And think of future generations, others being able to see these recipes, share them, and really celebrate our area and what it means to be in this area. This is what we are about, and this is what we are doing with our 85th anniversary cookbook. It's really a love letter to our community and something we are just having a lot of fun with. We encourage you to get that recipe to us and sign up for that newsletter at WFHR.com. Terry and I will be back with more show coming up at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us. Hope your Friday is treating you good. Got some fun stuff lined up. We're going to get into our schedule in a little bit, touch on some events going on in our area, and some good stories of the day. Of course, we got that free ticket, brewer tickets we're giving away and stuff. Once you get a chance to win those tickets, be listening for that keyword like us mentioning gold. That's the keyword that we'll mention in a little bit, so be listening for when we mention gold to text to us, but you got to wait until we mention the keyword gold. You can
gold.
Text it to us right now. Gold.
Gold.
Text it.
Ready,
text it.
Ready, gold.
Go. Nice. I like that. I like that. How are the Packers not using that? That's fantastic. A CEO from Harvard Business School came up with three phrases that can instantly kill your chances in a job interview. If you're on the job hunt, avoid saying these things. Now, I obviously brought this topic up in part because of the world that we're in right now and the employment situation and some of those things. But also, I've got somebody here with me that has been, done a lot of this. You've certainly done plenty of interviews and been interviewed for jobs plenty. But it's also your skill of interviewing, you know, potential employees that I wanted to bring you into this topic with, because I feel like we can give a, it's easy, I think, to kind of just point at these answers and say what's right about them. What I would like to do is talk about how you can answer them better as well.
Oh, we're getting deep.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to correct you. I really haven't been interviewed for that many jobs.
Oh, really? Oh,
well, I mean,
okay. Now that I'm thinking about
it, when I think about big girl jobs, right? Like once I was an adult, like I had a management position and then was interviewed to be the manager. So that'd be two. Then like kind of the same thing when I went to Yonkers. So that was two more. And now this job. So only like five.
And how long have you been at the United Way? You've been there
18 years.
Yeah, I was going to say almost two decades. Yeah,
and 10 years, you know, at the position before that. But but that's not the norm. And but I do have done a lot of like mock interviews and practice interviews with people. And of course, yes, I have interviewed about 4 million people.
You're right.
Well, not really.
Somewhere around 3 million. Yeah, somewhere around there.
3.8.
So here are some of those answers this CEO is talking about. Quote, I want to start my own business someday. You think it makes you sound like you've got big goals for the future, but it can come across like you're planning your exit before you've even set foot in the door. Most companies don't want to take a chance on someone who might split after a year or two.
I think it depends on the context of the question. Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree. That is something that's like, oh, okay, so I'm not their end game. And probably like 5 years, 10 years ago, let's say 10 years ago, that would have been much more alarming than it is now because no one stays at jobs a long time anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope my staff's not listening. Everyone stays at their jobs a long time.
It's true. You know, you and I, being in our industries for multiple decades and that is becoming more and more rare. And what I'm encouraged by is the idea that that employers are getting this for the most part, I would think. Now, if somebody says this in a job interview to me, I get where they're coming from to a degree. But I do think that there's a lot of context that can come before that that can be like, you know, hey, well, this person is looking at, okay, working with me and in my industry, they're going to be able to learn and get better for this industry that they're hoping to get to one day. I don't know. That there's a if I've got somebody starting in a retail position, I'm not expecting them to be in this job for the next 30 years. I know that it's a launching pad. It's supposed to be. The problem is a lot of the pay that comes in. Now that's a whole other topic. But I don't have anything against that any more than I do if a person comes in and says, "Hey, this isn't." I don't know. You know what my future holds. The whole where you see yourself in 5 years.
But that question, I think, has like, that used to be a really popular question. You know, where do you see yourself 5 years from now, 10 years from now? And honestly, I've kind of, so if that was the question, where do you see yourself 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Oh, I'd like to own my own business someday, right? It shows goals, initiative, that kind of thing. But I, you know what? Honestly, I don't even, I've pulled my question back so far to say, where do you see yourself 2 years from now? Because honestly, not just nonprofit, but in a lot of like those entry level positions, service positions, like you were talking about, it's the level of investment that goes into training. And then when it becomes like every 2 years, you're retraining for that same, it's kind of exhausting, honestly. So if I ask that question, if I ask somebody where you see yourself 2 years from now and they say, I want to own my own business, that's a point to That's something that's sticking in my mind. If it's them and another candidate neck and neck, that I'm gonna have my own business in 2 years. That has put you on a. It's not put you in the lead. For me.
Yeah. And in that regard, you were almost encouraging people to not be completely, you know, open about that and everything and sharing all that.
Well, but maybe you also. I mean, say someday I would love to own my own business.
Well, maybe it's something too there where like, you know, where do you see yourself in 5 years or what are your plans or something like that? Well, at this job, I'm hoping to learn the skills to be able to open my own business one day. I would think that that's going to tell you, oh, this person's going to be paying attention. This person's going to be taking notes. Like, they got goals. How often do we want out of our employees somebody who has a hunger, that wants to strive, that, oh, this person's hungry in the industry? And we use that term all the time. This is a hungry person to me. Now, where their focus is and all those things, I think is a case-by-case thing, and you figure that out hopefully in the interview, if you're lucky.
I was going to say, I don't think we can base the hiring decision on that one question.
No. Here's the other one. Quote, I value work-life balance. Yeah, most people do. But if you say it's one of your top priorities, it could come across like you're not motivated to work hard. Again, this is a case-by-case thing. Now, what they're saying you should say instead is, quote, I care about well-being, but I'm most driven by growth and being part of a high-performing team. I don't know what your average person is going to answer this as, but if I'm somebody who hires people, or at least used to, and when it came to that, this was important to me. I wanted that out of my employees. I'm looking for that. Now, I'm not saying that as somebody who was crazy driven, I wasn't gonna look at them or something like that. But in this day and age, if you're hiring, I actually flip this question on the business. And think that the business needs to care about this more. And just like the employees, that's a case-by-case thing. Say if I'm a nonprofit, I don't really have that luxury. I can't necessarily ask. I want that out of my employees. I want that for them, certainly. But I can understand if I'm a nonprofit that I've got to be careful about some of these things, the first question and this question. I think that you've got to be a little more, you can't afford to be selective, and at the same time, you almost have to be.
See, and I think that this is one of the things that nonprofits are afforded, is to offer a good balance, because we don't necessarily have the financial resources to offer other benefits. So, you know, thinking about how time is balanced. But I'd be curious about how this question, I mean, this is talking about responses, but what is the question? Like, how is the question asked? Because if I'm interviewing you and I say to you, oh, James, you know, tell me about, do you value work-life balance? Well, of course the answer is going to be yes. Mm-hmm. But if I say to you, James, tell me about your core values. If the first thing out of your mouth is work-life balance, to me, you're not going to be, this is just a gut reaction. Sure. You're not a 110%er. Mm-hmm. I don't expect people to, I truly, as an employer, do value work-life balance. Mm-hmm. And I try really hard to make sure that, I mean, our employees know that, but I also try to, you know, to live that, right?
Yeah.
But that also doesn't mean that I'm a doormat and you can take advantage of every little thing. Like, it's a balance. It's a give and take. Mm-hmm. It's a push-pull. You can demonstrate it a whole bunch of ways. But if I say to you, James, tell me about your values.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first value that you have to offer. Meh.
The Simpsons. That's my first. Oh, come on. Give me a chance. It's Simpsons, a great show.
You know, if honestly, that'll get you more points than saying work-life balance as your first answer.
I do think, going back to this again, we are trying to fix the boat on the water. I mean, this is one of those things that we're trying to figure out. I think employee, employer, all of the above. And that's how we do it. I think it's, and this is part of what I wanted to talk with you about, is the differences of a business and nonprofits and some of those. That's a great point that you bring up there, and I appreciate that. The final one on here, quote, I was let go as part of my company's recent layoffs. It might be true, but managers know that with some layoffs, companies can take top performers and reassign them somewhere else in the company. And they'll be working. They'll be wondering why that didn't happen with you. Again, I would think that there's an ability to give context to that. I would think that, I know this is, they're trying to give generic answers here to try to, you know, cover a lot of bases, but I would think that this is a case by case thing as well. And say you were laid off, but, you know, some big layoff or something like that, you would be able to point to that and why you were laid off, instead of just saying I was laid off as a part of my company's big layoffs. I do agree with this as far as the wording of it. I wouldn't word it that way, but, you know, context is everything.
If you've been let go, laid off, which can be the same but can also be very different.
Yeah.
You know, I think that you have to be prepared to respond to that. But, you know, I feel like your level of honesty and sincerity, that question especially, it's required. Because most employers, if they're not, they should be doing, you know, reference checks. They should be checking in on things, on performance. And you know what? Maybe you weren't laid off. Maybe you were let go. And maybe you were not a great employee, but this is an opportunity for another chance, right? But what you share with the person that's interviewing you, what you share with them should match what they hear from the employer, right? Like, you can't paint a rosy picture of something that wasn't rosy. So sometimes you got to take your lumps. Sometimes you got to learn from it and come my opinion come from a place of sincerity versus a place of how do I make what happened or whatever look better. Now, if I say to you, James, tell me about your most recent position. Mm-hmm. If the first thing out of your mouth is, oh yeah, I was laid off because I was downside. What do you tell? I mean, it's part of it, but don't lead with it. You
right,
know, like,
right.
Yeah.
I also, to your point, or to what you were touching on there a little bit about your resume and when you're in these interviews, and honestly, putting your best foot forward, of course, and everything, and you want to word your previous jobs and what you did as best as you can. I have no problem with that. I don't even have a problem with people, not so much embellishing, but enhancing what you might have done.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Be careful not to lie about these things. Oh. There are so many examples of people lying on their resume, and that the chicken's coming home to roost. When it, I think
second time we have chickens today. Is there like some omen? Like, are you going to say chickens a third time before we're done?
But at least one more time. Right. A good friend of mine, Will, stand-up comedian out in California. I've mentioned Will a couple of times. When Will was first starting out, he was looking I just want a gig. I'll work anywhere. And so his agent is like, okay, have you done birthday parties and stuff? And he's like, of course, yeah, I've done that. Sure, sure. How hard could that be? And Will is thinking, oh, I'm going to go into some adult, you know, family that wants to have a, you know, some bunch of guys or something like that at a bachelor party. One of those kind of, I don't know what he was thinking necessarily, actually, but that's what his thought was. And then, sure enough, the very next weekend, Will is doing a comedy set for an eighth grader's birthday party. Will does not have that comedy skill set. He did not know what to do with himself. He lost. I mean, that's
wow. And that age, especially. I mean, you're in a. You have to be totally censored, but you have to. Yeah, like there's a whole bunch of things.
Oh
there.
My God, it was a train wreck for him. I happened to be there. It was awesome. Well, I wasn't at the birthday party.
I was like, that's a little creepy.
We were roommates at the time and everything. And he comes. He
you were his assistant.
He left and he was so excited for this. And he came home and to this day, I've never seen him more devastated. I saw that guy miss out on the last Comic Standing audition. I've seen him miss out on some great opportunities, not like this one, where he was just so defeated because he went there and he tried to be funny, and these kids did not find him funny. And as a grown man, when your job is making people laugh and you can't make eighth graders laugh, don't lie on your resume.
Fair.
Don't lie on it.
You know, and something you said about, you know, putting your best foot forward and I think there is something to that. So, you know, obviously we're going to be honest, but I don't know, what do we want to call it? Maybe a little sugar coating, right? Like, you know, these are the best things that I bring to the table. Mm-hmm. And of course I'm going to make those look good, sound good, feel good. But there's also something about honesty and integrity. But also being able to speak well of your strengths. Mm-hmm. That also shows, you know, that you have ambition. It shows that you care. So there's certainly a balance, but I wouldn't, if you're asked, you know, tell me about your most recent job or your current job, you know, leading with that. But there's also, you know, I've been in a position where someone didn't disclose to me that they were let go from their last job. You know, they kind of led me to believe that they were maybe still working there. Mm. Well, guess what? Mm. I took a chance anyway. That person, didn't work out, because that was, for me, early on in my hiring, I should have recognized that was a red flag. And it was just once the person was there, it was like, it was a demonstration of their personality that I should have paid attention to.
These are those things to not only keep in mind, again, as an employer, but employees out there. And when you're in these interviews and not only putting your best foot forward, but, you know, believing in yourself and being honest about yourself, all of this comes, you know, full circle.
You know what else? If you're in an interview and you're maybe not sure what the answer is or how you should answer, like 30 seconds of silence is okay.
Yeah.
Don't just spew the first thing. Like, think through your answer. No one's going to hold that against you.
That's a really good point. Thank you, Terry. Thanks.
Sometimes that happens. You know, it's like, and then it's like, oh.
You feel like you're on a game show, you know, in some ways.
Afterwards, you come home and, like, you're talking about your friend, you know, but you come back and it's like, oh, how'd it go? Well, you know, this. And it's like, just take a moment and be thoughtful.
Well, it's like, they didn't even like knock-knock jokes. They didn't.
They weren't five-year-olds?
It's hilarious. I gotta text about that. Thank you, Terry. Appreciate your feedback on this one. You can find the complete article at CNBC.com. We'll take a quick time out, come back, and wrap up the show for the week. Morning show at WFHR. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR. James and Terry hanging out with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Been a fun week. Want to send a big shout out to all of our co-hosts, all of our guests, all of you listeners and our sponsors. Can't do it without you. We'll be back at it next week with a whole bunch of fun. Want to say a special shout out to Melissa Kay and how much we appreciate her. We're going to miss her on the show, but she'll be around here and there and stuff. And really do appreciate you, Mel. And looking forward to you in this new spot and the things that you're going to be able to do for our community. We appreciate you. Hope you're having a good morning and hope you got to sleep in a little bit. No, she definitely did not. She did. I don't know why I say that. That's the more.
I hope someone served you coffee.
It's more taunting than it is sweet. Right? I was trying to be nice.
Yeah,
it's
that
not.
Was a very like, nice.
No, it wasn't. I really shouldn't have said that, but I appreciate you, Mel, and we wanted to send a shout out to you.
Now, just turn your phone off.
Why would she listen to me if she doesn't have to? Yeah. We have a schedule to look at, and I want to get to it, everybody, because we have been having a lot of fun with the Rapid Support and seeing the success of this. A big shout out to the community and all of our guests joining us. You guys have been enjoying the pod. We appreciate that. You've been spreading the word about it and sharing it on your social media. Keep it up. It is our opportunity to talk to some of our local nonprofits, local industries, local businesses, and just people. Whether it's interviewing our Wisconsin Rapids mayor once a month, or Senator Teston today, or Representative Krug in a couple of weeks, it's Sheriff's Department, our nonprofits in our area. This show is important, and you guys have made sure that everybody knows that. We appreciate you. I want to shout out Laura and the great production she's been doing on this show as well. We got a great edition for you today. In part one, we are going to speak with Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston. I've got a bunch of great questions for Pat, and we're going to be talking to him. Do want to let you guys know a little bit of news that I can't break the news completely, but we do have something we're working on with Senator Teston that if you pay attention to him and his newsletter, you might get an idea of what I'm talking about. But we're looking forward to that and always look forward to talking with him. Yeah, we butt heads sometimes, but we always treat each other with respect. And the interview, I guarantee, even though it doesn't happen yet, I guarantee it'll end with us probably laughing or talking about the Brewers or something
or
like that.
Or just quiet.
Yeah, that too. That is coming up. And then we'll also be taking a dive into the Port Edward School District with our good friend James Benna, superintendent and 4K5 principal over there. He's going to be bringing in Marissa Ratzke, John Edwards Middle and High School family and consumer education teacher.
Cool.
Looking forward to that. She is also the Port Edwards Education Foundation vice president. So we're going to be talking about our public schools coming up on the Rapid Support today. Be sure to check it out at WFHR.com. Also, great lineup for you throughout the evening we got going on. Now, I wanted to mention that we have Playmakers on 105.5 WIRI. Join us from 4 to 5. It's our live sports call-in show. We got plenty to talk about today leading into the weekend and, of course, coming out of some high school sports. And speaking of high school sports, nobody is covering more games than we are here at our stations. We have got a good one on the radio dial at 105.5 tonight at 6:50. Abbotsford at Assumption. Mike, Randy, and Seth going to call that one. You know it's going to sound good. Be listening to that tonight. We'll talk about it on Playmakers. Will be your tailgate into the game. And I want to send a shout-out to our good friends, Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Tonight, they are going to be having a special show at 7:30, not only bringing on our good friend Terry Barr, but they're going to be talking about FRM Fest.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. They're going to play a song from Adam Gruhl, it looks like, and talking about FRM Fest. We appreciate them doing that. Be sure to check that out tonight, and be sure to check out Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. It's 7:30. It's going to be a great show. Whenever you get to check it out, Pete does a great job with that show. Some wonderful events going on in their area. The Mother-Daughter Pajama Party happening today at the Southwood County YMCA, 5:30 to 7:30. Be sure to check that out. Pizza party, arts and crafts, face painting, all kinds of fun stuff. Have a fun time with that one, everybody. Benefit for the LHS Choir, an evening of harmony with the newfangled four. That is happening tonight at 6:30 over at the Performing Arts Center. Be sure to check that out. Get your tickets at savorthearts.com. And also know that you're not only getting a good show, but you're taking in helping out our local area here. Of course, our Wisconsin Rapids Downtown Farmers Market's going on from 8 to 1 tomorrow. Be sure to check that out at 221 First Avenue South. And Saturday, two big events. Try to get to both of them if you can, everybody. The FRM Music Fest happening at Robinson Park. Free entry, 12 to 9. Buy local, support local, and check out these great artists and all this awesome fun that happens at beautiful Robinson Park. Get on down there to check out all of those acts. Big thank you to all of our friends at FRM. Enjoy FRM Music Fest. It's back, baby. Robinson Park, free entry from from 12 to 9 right over there, Kids Zone. Going to have great stuff, food and vendors and all that. And our wonderful friends at the Southfield County Humane Society have their 5K9 walk run happening tomorrow. Got raffles, merchandise, bake sale, brat fry. You can register right on site at 8 a.m. The run, the walk will begin at 9. Bring your furry friends if you'd like and find out more at swchs.com. Be sure to check that out, everybody. Terry, as we wrap up, just wanted to touch on the United Way real quick and remind everybody that you guys got Day of Caring and some other great stuff going on because it's campaign season.
Yeah, we've got a whole bunch of great events, and I encourage you to take a look at our website to get the details on that. You know, in this last minute, I just really want to talk about and, you know, maybe appeal to people about giving. So this is the time when we are fundraising very actively throughout the community. Maybe you've seen us out and about. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you've got something in the mail. Maybe you haven't. But this is just an open invitation for you to consider a donation to our United Way to help impact programs, coalitions, initiatives, and, you know, frankly, your friends, family, and neighbors who might have a need and need a hand up. So this is the time. There's no better time than now to join us in giving. So you can do that at uwswac.org. You can also visit us at 351 Oak Street here in Wisconsin Rapids.
We encourage you to do so. It's not only a donation, it's an investment in your community. 100% of the proceeds go right back into this area. We appreciate our friends at the United Way. Find out more at uwswac.org. And to that point, Terry, my good story of the day, a woman in Virginia named Carrie Edwards hit the Powerball for $150,000 last week and donated all of it to charity. Aww. All of it. Every Love penny it. Of it. What a lady. What a move there. She matched 4 of 5 numbers on the Powerball. She wrote 3 checks for $50,000 to 3 different groups. One of them helps families of people with early onset dementia. Her late husband had suffered from that. So that's,
you know,
pretty
even
cool.
If people who won these big things just donated 10%.
Yeah, it's Woo! A big deal. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.